Alrighty, here we go. Jacob, get ready. I can't get my computer to come up. I was too busy reading hate mail from Ron Roberts. Jacob tells me I don't need to necessarily respond to people that hate me, but I feel a certain loyalty to them. It's like I don't exist unless someone's oppressing me. All right, let's see. Who's going to be the lucky soul that gets a chance to come on the air and just shoot the S with me for the next 4 hours?
Let's go. I love the L.A. women. I crave the Georgia peaches. The caramel skin.
Is that Tom? Is that Tom rapping, throwing down a mean beat? No! Drace, how are you? All the way from L.A.? Are you ready to go, my friend?
I am ready to rock and roll. And I wish that was Tom throwing down a, what did you say, a mean beat?
I don't know. That he's busting down the super group beat. I don't know. I've run out of vernacular regarding rap, song, anything. Well, what was the word you're supposed to say? What are you supposed to say on it?
I mean, it's okay. I got you, man. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get you right.
No, don't placate me. I want to know. Like, let me know where I go wrong. I thought throwing down a beat, I saw that, I heard that like in 1984. I thought that was the thing you did. You throw down a beat.
Say that one more time. When did you hear that?
1984.
What year is it?
I was living in New York City and guys were putting down pieces of cardboard and spinning on their head. I thought, why not me? Why can't I be part of this? Diving into the door! I know it's 2020. All right, here we go. Dre's is there in L.A. We are here in Seattle, and you are wherever you are as we head in towards the weekend. The president intends to choose Amy Cohen Barrett for the Supreme Court. Miss Barrett, a graduate of Notre Dame. She's 48 years old, and 2017 she was nominated for a district court, I believe, and she got a chance to get sort of rolled around in the barrel there. And now it will be this Saturday, most likely in the afternoon. This will give the president to have the news dominated on Sunday. All the Sunday talk shows will be about the Supreme Court. And then they get rolling and get started on Monday. The shortest, fastest they've ever done was a guy. What was his name? Wilson, I think his name was. Yeah. No, Douglas. Douglas. William Douglas, 1939. He gets nominated, and it took 5 minutes. It was over. He sat there. They didn't ask him any questions. And then they're like, yep. You got the job. That's similar to my kid getting a job at Papa John's pizza place. Very similar situation. 5 minutes, no questions, and they hired him. In this case, William Douglas gets hired in 1939. So they can turn it around pretty fast. You get a chance to be able to ask questions. They can drag this thing out as long as they possibly want. And Amy Cohen Barrett would be the one that would step in there and take over for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She is a known as an originalist when it comes to the Constitution. She just says, I see the words. If it's not clearly defined that this is a federal case, then we throw it back to the state. Do you have sound on any of this stuff, Jacob? No, nothing on Barrett. All right. Have you got a chance to read anything about her, and what do you think of her?
I'm very little bit, right? So I got a chance to read, I mean, simple stuff, right? She's a mother. She's conservative, which is kind of predictable. You know, formal clique, 48 years old, mm-hmm. Catholic.
Yep.
And the most important part, Democrats don't like her, right? So right. Those are the things I've heard. A lot of fear about whether she's going to try to roll back things around abortion, et cetera. Not anything that I'm worried about. To me, I obviously I'm just learning about her, mm-hmm. but she seems like a decent candidate. Why not? I'm willing to give her a chance. She's conservative. I have no problem with that. I think that I like our Supreme Court to have balance, right?
Yeah.
And so having difference and different types of opinions so that they can work together to really try to achieve justice, I'm all for it. Why not?
All right, I'm going to sell you on her. You ready?
Okay.
I mean, you sound open-minded, but I'm just going to get your final confirmation on this. She is concerned with qualified immunity when it comes to the police, which is a really weird thing. It's this, the police, if they do something to you that is original in the sense that it hasn't been brought to court before and the cop has not been found guilty of it, then you cannot, it's this weird double standard, then the cop cannot be charged with it. So let's say a cop pulls you over, you get out of the car, and then the cop pours like soda or something all over your head or does something or other. If it, in some way, it then goes to a court and the cop is then found guilty of this crime, then therefore there is a precedent that then you, then the next cop that does something exactly like that can be charged because there has been a record of this running afoul of the law. Qualified immunity basically says, well, it wasn't exactly, they didn't dump the same liquid on top of you, so therefore you can't get sued. And Barrett has said, this doesn't make sense. This adds too much protection for the police, and it's a weird sort of double standard. So she said she wants, if a case came forward, she would be allowed to rule on it. And there are a number of libertarians that are coming to the court wanting some case to be brought forward that examines this qualified immunity, just simply saying this, as the law is written, it doesn't make sense, and we'd like to may be able to hold police officers accountable for their actions. There you go. How about that, huh? I gotcha. Grace, you all in? You with me?
You know what? I'm having technical difficulties. Couldn't hear you.
Did you miss any of that? Oh, my God. It was brilliant. Let me just tell you. Absolutely brilliant. In fact, what we'll do then while you... Is he able to hear now, or should I just play the song?
Go ahead and play the song.
Okay, fine. Let me have my computer back. Can I have my computer back? Anybody? No? No? Wow.
No, You know what? I think you should take the segment. You like to talk a lot anyway.
No,
go ahead.
No. I won't stand for that. Hold on, Dre's. Yesterday, I gave you the floor numerous times, and people wrote in, why didn't you set that guy straight? It's like, look, he gets a chance. I'm blabbing all the time on the radio. You don't often get a chance to come on, so I let you have it. You could go. Can he even hear me right now as I'm kissing his ass? Is anybody? No? Anybody in there? Hey, could you do me a favor? Press a button so I can have my computer back. Can you do that? You can do that. All right, hang on. Now is he back? No. All right.
No.
Good. All right. Then you just, I'll lecture. As my father used to say, are you finished? And I'd say, yeah, meaning are you finished speaking? And then I'd go, yeah, I'm finished. He goes, good. Now you want to learn something? And with that, he would launch into like a 3-hour lecture that involved every single sports metaphor in the world. So, all right. So here's what happens. Basically, for those of you that would like to be able to go to some event, Zoom meeting or whatever, and have some sort of talking points about the Supreme Court, it goes this way. The Constitution is fairly quiet on the nomination of a Supreme Court justice. They don't say much. They just say that it is the president's responsibility to nominate. It is the Senate's responsibility to do advise and consent. So and you can bring somebody up the same day, and then you can end up having that person appointed. So sometimes Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it took 43 days from the point of nomination to the point of confirmation. But in these cases, they can take longer and longer. The Democrats have a whole bunch of weapons at their disposal. They can delay things. They can stop the consent. They can make motions. They can vote for other things. They can try to delay it for 2 days. They got all sorts of tricks. It'll be interesting to see if they pull any of those out. But as it is right now, the president most likely, this is the rumor anyway, she has gone in there. Mary Amy Cohen Barrett has been in there twice or three times to the White House, so most likely I think she will be the one that ends up getting the nod. Okay, let me know when Dre's is on, so I'll just stop my monologue, my filibuster. All right, here we go. Crowd control. Oh, I love this one. I hope Dre's comes back on, because the crowd control weapons at Seattle protests have caused injuries and heightened the tensions with the police. So let's just some of the fact that I think there was another peaceful protest yesterday. There was another one. There was one the other day as well. Most of these peaceful protests involve fire, smashing windows, and hitting police in the head with aluminum bats, bottles, rocks, whatever they possibly can do. Long, long piece that's very, very sympathetic to the protesters in the Seattle Times. Seattle Times doing a really good job of choosing particular words to describe the police as descending upon the protesters. And other adjectives and adverbs that really allow us to see the bias of the Times when it comes to how it reports on the Seattle Police Department. So in this particular case, they're laying out one day and they're saying, well, the police did this and the protesters did that. This is the day that the protesters shot the mortar through the wall there at the East Precinct. This is the day that the protesters set a couple of construction trailers on fire. This is also the day they threw a whole bunch of different things at the police. Basically, this is the way I see it working. I had a friend in high school that wanted to get into fights all the time. Saturdays, he was always looking for a fight. We would go to a party and he would say, I'm going to mess somebody up tonight. And he would intentionally look around to get into a fight. The people that are showing up at these protests, believe the police are brutalizing them. They are going out looking for a fight. When you show up at a peaceful protest with a helmet on and you've made yourself a little shield in the backyard with your dad's help with a power tool, and you go out with rocks and bottles and other things, you're not out to protest. You're out to fight. So they go up to the police. They stand next to the police. They yell at the police. They curse the police. They spit on the police. They're just taunting the police. Keep taunting us. Keep don't. They want the police to throw the first punch. The police warn, back up, back up. They make a whole bunch of announcements. They don't back up. They tell them where they can leave, go east, go west, get out of the way. They don't get out of the way. Then they shoot these blast balls and a whole bunch of other crap at them. And then people go, oh, you've hurt me. Mr. A's back. Did you hear anything? I have been brilliant, by the way. I threw down a mean beat. I did a little bit of, huh? You all right?
I loved it. I loved it.
You didn't hear any of it.
You were awesome, man. I was bobbing my head.
No, you didn't hear. Oh, then I know you didn't hear any of it. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you watch any of those videos, or did you see any of the peaceful protests that happened in Seattle? My contention is this. The people are looking for a fight. They're going to these protests because they want to fight with the police.
I think you're seeing what you want to see, right? Like, okay, you see that, right? I guess my question is, do you see that people just want to peacefully protest? Do you see that too?
At the beginning, yeah.
No, not a beginning. It's not a timeline. At the end of the day, there's a mass of people. Some of them just want to peacefully protest. And yes, there are some people who we've continued to call out. Both, everyone's calling them out, saying these are not the people who we want running our rallies, moving these marches, being in control of anything. So yes, there are some people, but the vast majority of people are not looking to antagonize or cause problems with the police. They're frustrated. They want to voice their concerns. They want to be heard. And they want the world to see what's happening. Uh-huh. But are the vast majority of them looking for fights and problems and to be tear gassed? No, not at all.
Why do they show up with helmets and shields?
Who wouldn't show up? At the end of the day, you want to be prepared because you know there's what could possibly happen. Right. Why do the police show up with masks, with shields? Because you know what could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm. You know the rule of like a bar fight, that the person has to throw the first punch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've seen people stand there and like puff up the chest, and they're just talking crap to the other person, and both of them are just waiting. Go ahead. Yes. Go take your best punch. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Right, back and forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they call themselves F's and B's and all this other stuff. They want the person to throw the first punch because then legally you're defending yourself, right?
Right, right.
These people that are standing there inches from the police face, screaming at the police, holding up their middle finger, telling the police to go do this, this, and this, and I hope your wife gets raped, and I hope your kids get killed. They're screaming at the police, screaming. So they want the police to take a shot at them. They're not peaceful protesters. The peaceful protesting happened 3 hours earlier. I'm talking 11 o'clock at night. This is what we're talking about. And the Seattle Times does a whole thing on how they're getting injured. Listen, you went to the thing. You knew when it started to turn around. You knew the police start to fire this tear gas. You want to stand in there and fight with the cops. The reason they're protesting is because they believe the police are brutalizing them. They're going. They're going to take this fight to the police. And the fight is coming back. The police are defending themselves, or at least trying to disperse the crowd. You've seen the stuff, right? I'm separating the protesters from the rioters.
I have no problem with separating the protesters from the rioters. There are some people, again, as you would say rioters, right? Mm-hmm. We'll take that term. There are certain people who, yes, who want a problem. There are several, tons of others, the vast majority, who are not looking for a problem. They're frustrated. They're angry. Yes, and they're going to look at the policeman right in his face and say, yo, I'm bothered by you. They're going to use whatever language they choose because it is their right to be able to look and go, I'm frustrated by this system and what you represent. Mm-hmm. Why is that a problem? What's the issue with that?
Okay. There's no issue with standing there screaming at the police officer in his face, although it is completely irrational. You can do that First Amendment right if you like to yell at another human being because you're so full of love that you want to yell inches from a cop's face. Got it. So right now it's a standoff at this point, the way you're illustrating this. person screaming at the cop that they're frustrated because they believed all the crap coming out of the media or social media that that the cops are all racist. So the cop's standing there, the person screaming, and then somebody starts throwing rocks and bottles. The cops then make an announcement. At this point, we are going to begin to disperse the crowd. We are going to fire this, this, and this. Warning you now, letting you know. They do a whole bunch of warning stuff. You can egress to the east or the west, which would throw me off because I'm not good with east and west stuff. And now at this point, they're given fair warning. Here it comes. Here comes the gas. Here comes the bomb things. Here comes the smoke. Would you stay there?
I think it depends.
On right? What?
It depends on why I'm there.
Okay, whatever. Give yourself a reason and then tell me, would you stay there when they tell you we're going to begin to use gas? Would you stay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, someone in my community. So let's go all the way back because your entire – what your concept was built on a premise. So we're starting from the point of they believe something from the media that they've heard that all cops are racist. Yeah. Well, absolutely. That's not what we've heard.
Okay.
We've not heard all cops are racist. That's not what we've said.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll take it from a real instance of, yeah, in my community, I've watched – people be brutalized, beaten up by cops, unjustifiably, over and over and over. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Okay.
Right? So if I saw it and I felt frustrated by it and I showed up to a rally because I wanted to voice myself, yeah, I would sit there. This is my right. What do I need to leave for? Right? I'm here. You don't have a right. I'm not doing anything to you. I have a right to assemble, to peacefully protest.
I got it.
That's what I'm doing.
Trace,
okay, yeah, so well, I'd stay.
But in the little sort of demonstration we put forward, screaming and yelling, then stuff gets thrown. They're throwing bottles at the cops. They're doing this sort of stuff. And the cops at that point say, now we're going to disperse this. Now, at this point, you've been fair warned. There's going to be some gas. It's going to be uncomfortable. Do you continue to stay? If you stay... then you
I'm
are
going
to receive all the irritation that goes with it. Or if you leave, you won't have this stuff happen to you, right?
We're on the same page. I'm
okay.
Out.
You're
yes, I'm out.
I'm good. All right, there we go. All right, right up to that point, and then it's like, I don't need that gas in my face. All right. All right. Back to your seats, everybody. Here we go. We're going to go behind enemy lines. By the way, Dre's joining us from L.A., did you happen to see Stephen A. Smith going absolutely nuts on the fact that he cannot stand Dallas, and he is looking directly into the camera, spreading, if he's got COVID-19, he is spreading it to everybody within 50 feet of him. He is screaming at the Seahawks.
But your boy, Stephen A., is asking you to come through. Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Jamal Adams, I need y'all to shut them damn Cowboy fans up. Please do not put me through this noise for two consecutive weeks. Please, we're pretty pleased with sugar on top.
And now we go behind enemy lines to find one of those Dallas Cowboy fans that is really upset Stephen A. Smith. And in order to get on his good side, because there's a pretty good chance we could lose the Cowboys, here's a little bit of music that his favorite group. Have you a little tear? Joining us now from KTCK, Jack Kemp made the brutal mistake of saying on some interview somewhere, Jake Kemp said, just give me Quaker City Nighthawks and that's good enough for me. So I gave you some of that and it took us a while to find a song we liked. Jake,
wow.
Yeah.
So the hospitality and the shot at the local band, right in one there. I appreciate
boom, bang.
It, and I'm slightly offended.
That's what we're going for. All right, listen,
yeah, hey,
Dre's,
I get it.
Yeah, Dre's is in L.A. He's a Seattle guy, lives in L.A. in the music business, in the entertainment business. He's filling in for Tom, my beloved socialist, who's not here. He's sitting home on the couch because he's 85 years old. So here's what we normally do. We go behind enemy lines. We talk to some homer in the other city. We find out what they plan on doing, how they emotionally, physically, and spiritually get ready for the loss that is about to become them. And just for you, your opinion, after watching what Russell Wilson has been doing to defenses, you must have thought at some point, I wonder if I can leave this city and apply for a job in Seattle to do sports. Is that true, Mr. Kemp?
Yeah, I've heard quite a bit about the cost of living, so I'm not sure that I could cut it there and find a proper gig. But look, I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan, but I'm a football fan, and it's an absolute injustice that Russ doesn't have an MVP to this point in his career. A lot of times when guys get the somewhat sympathy MVP, they don't really deserve it anymore. Russ is going to get it while he still does.
Yeah.
He's still at the top of his game. He's still in his prime. It's absolutely a crime that he hasn't won one already. I think he's got 5-6 years of dominance left in him. So he's a bit of a dork, but at the end of the day, he's a very fun guy to watch play football, and I dread it every single time the Cowboys run into him. Now, I will tell you this. I was a lot more up for it last time when it seemed like they were still kind of keeping him chained up a little bit, mm-hmm. and they were running the ball a little bit, but now it seems like they've figured out, as the mantra goes this year, let Russ cook,
yeah.
and cook he has done.
Yeah, he is cooking. Dre's, any questions for our Dallas Cowboy fan here?
Look, Jake, I don't like you taking pot shots at my quarterback, but that's okay. We're going to let the dork cook this week. I need to know, you guys have looked good for all of one quarter this year. So I need to know, is it, from a real fan, someone who's watching, is that, which team is really the Cowboys? The one, the fourth quarter last week, or the last seven quarters, the first seven quarters of this year?
You know, I think it's going to take them a little while to get going defensively, right? I mean, anytime you change coaching staffs in the middle of a pandemic, I think it's probably proper to expect a little bit of a learning curve. I think their offense is there. Last week was a bit of a weird game because they put it on the carpet four times in the first 18 minutes of the game and lost three of them. And that just sort of throws everything out of whack as far as what you can take out of it. They're going to put up points, and I think they'll put up points on Seattle's defense. I expect it to be a really fun game. The cliche shootout, I would probably pick Seattle straight up if I had to, just because they've been dominant. I mean, when your quarterback only has two more incompletions than he does touchdowns, that's a problem for Dallas's defense that's down a starting corner, and they've already been bad defensively, even with Cheeto starting at corner. So I would be stunned if Seattle doesn't put up 35 on Dallas this weekend. It's really just a matter of whether or not Dallas can keep up. They can enough to where I think it'll be an entertaining game.
How's Elliott? Is he hurt? I hope so.
No, he is not. He is not hurt. But honestly, I'm one of the Cowboy fans that think Dallas is better whenever they don't seem to feature Jerry's favorite son, the $18 million a year running back. I would prefer Dallas to let it rip, a la what Russ and the Seahawks are doing, as juxtaposed to what they were doing earlier in his career. I think Dallas falls in love with Zeke a little bit too much. At times, and one thing you will notice is that he plays with his jersey up by his pad so you can see his belly, and he now has tattooed on the front, like a front tramp stamp type thing, he has Feed Me tattooed all the way across his belly. So if you haven't seen the Cowboys play yet, Zeke has Feed Me in huge font tattooed across his belly. So not sick, but bad tattoos.
Now, I mean, okay, so I have something really curious. I want to know if you may have heard something. Jamal Adams recently talked about how there were some receivers for the Dallas Cowboys who have been sending some messages essentially saying that he can't cover them. Do you have any idea? Is this Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper? Who's the guy talking trash to Jamal Adams?
You know, that kind of came out of nowhere, and I'm not saying I wouldn't put it past a Cowboys player to be talking with, you know, writing checks that they can't cash. But I have a feeling that is just Jamal trying to create billboard material where it doesn't really exist because he's that type of guy. He loves the hype, and I wanted him in Dallas for a long time. He's a Dallas guy. He's got a Dallas Stars tattoo, to speak of tattoos, in the Stanley Cup final. But to me, that just felt like him trying to add, you know, a little gasoline to a matchup, and I don't really think it needs any, right? This is a big-time game. It's Fox Game of the Week. It's two high-flying offenses, and it's not like, I mean, it ain't like the Seahawks have been covering anybody through 2 weeks either. So I don't know if Jamal's checked the scores, but you could throw on Seattle. I mean, I think even you guys would admit that.
Yeah, you can.
He's not even willing to give me that one.
Trace, give him just something. The guy's come out, and you're still bitter that he called Russell Wilson a dork? I mean, come on.
Dude, Cowboys fans are the worst fans.
This guy seems fairly normal. Can I just
anywhere?
Take Jake off the line.
We are the worst.
Yes.
We're entitled. We're living in the past.
Yeah.
Our owner is a ghoul. I mean, We're the worst. Don't get it twisted. I totally cop to us being the worst.
Okay, let me hold on. Let me ask.
I still think you can throw on the Seahawks.
Okay, Jake, did you have a Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders poster in your room?
Calendar.
You had the calendar.
You need a new look every month. Yeah, of course.
Okay, fine. All right. Hang on, Jake. You ready? We do this with everybody, so just hold on 1 second.
You ready? I'm going to ask you a scenario question. You ready? Have the Seahawks playing here at home? They are, right? We're at home, right? Okay, good. You ready? Here's what happens. Ready? Hit the music. The Seahawks bus pulls up. You are disguised as a hot dog vendor with a bad New York accent. You have a frying pan in your right hand, assuming you're right-handed, Jake, and with that frying pan, you can hit one Seahawk over the head as they step off of the bus. You get on a horse because you're from Dallas, and everybody from Dallas knows how to ride horses. The horse travels away from CenturyLink Field. You've got the slightly unconscious Seahawk on the back of that horse. You, at this point, have an opportunity to take that Seahawk that you have knocked slightly unconscious and tear his jersey asunder and put him in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. What Seahawk do you steal to play for the Cowboys to change the outcome of the game? I ask you, Jake Kemp.
Man, that is a tough one because I would take Russ, but again, I don't want a dork playing quarterback for me, so I'm going to take Jamal. I want Jamal. I want the guy with Dallas roots. I want the guy who wanted to come to Dallas, but Dallas would have been dumb enough to give up 2 firsts and a third to get him, which they weren't. Seattle was. How about that?
Tracy took one more shot at you there, Tracy. All right, and at this point, what is the final score of the game?
I'm going to go 38-34 Seattle. I know I'm a homer, but they're both really good teams, and I think Seattle is proving to be one of the best. But hopefully we'll see each other again in the playoffs, and you guys can call me back again.
Okay.
And I hope Dre's filling in that day again, too.
Okay, Jake, here's what's going to happen. First of all, congratulations on your little baby you have at home. I offered this last week. If you get that score right, I will donate from my own account $500 to your favorite charity, okay?
That's awesome, man. You guys are fun. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jake. Bye-bye. All right, that was fun. Great. Well done. Way to get on them.
Hey, man, these Cowboys, man, they're I'm as annoyed as Stephen A. by them. I'm just like, I have a couple friends who are Cowboys fans, and I don't know if I can call them friends because of the way they act.
So. Really?
Yeah, these guys, they're the worst, man. And he admitted it. So, I mean, you know, kudos to him, I guess.
They're America's team, though.
They were America's team.
Well, hold on a second. What's the difference between them and when the Oakland Raiders were in Oakland? Just as far as what makes a horrible fan? Is it a horrible fan to really love your team? Is it a horrible fan to, what, just only be a homer for your team or just be constantly crapping on somebody else's team?
It's everything he described, their entitlement. The Raiders aren't entitled. The Raiders are just warriors, right? But the Cowboys, they're entitled. They're arrogant. They think they're America's team. Therefore, they're better than you. They think they're the champs right now. You're not the champs. And it's their interaction with others, man. The minute they interact with you, you catch that air in your conversation. And it's like, dude, you do know we've won a championship more recently than you have, right? Like, you do know you're not relevant anymore. But you know.
Oh, I see. All right. So you're talking about your personal interactions with fans of the Dallas Cowboys. And when you immediately sort of suss them out as being fans of Cowboys, then you start to notice how much you dislike them, just generally as fans or as an entire person.
I'm saying it's my personal interaction. It's online. I swear these people, they have to get sworn in. It's got to be a club or something. There's no way a massive group of people could all be like, even LeBron James, he's a Cowboys fan, right? Right. He's one of them. Yes, all of them. Annoying. Okay.
All right. And by the way, Hannah Scott is also a Cowboys fan. And last week, she's like, hey, when are we going to talk Cowboys? It's like, what, huh? Anyway, you can write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well at 98973. I haven't had any interactions with Cowboy fans, but I don't normally get into sort of sports talk with people. But do you find yourself involved in social media? Or do you kick it back and forth on Instagram or on Twitter with people?
Not a whole lot. You know, I get a bunch of hate mail and all those different things. I don't join them. Little sports, yeah, but not any real conversation. It's just not the way to have a conversation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, online, you're going to frustrate me. I don't feel like typing everything to make all of my points. You think you won just because I didn't respond? No, thanks.
Well, there's a guy named Ron Roberts who wants me to get the COVID virus. And I said, well, I'll get it. And then he goes, good. I said, well, I'll get sick. And then he said, no, I hope you get worse. And then he goes on and wants me to die, Dory to die, and Michael Medved to die. Yeah. This was yesterday. I had nothing to do, so I thought, and I'll engage with him. And then he eventually wanted me to pass away. No?
No, man.
I'm going to ask him if he wants you to die.
These people, I'm like, to me, I'm like, I've had people come at me. I'm like, you're saying things to me online that you would not say in my face. Trust me, you would not say that to me. But it's like, I don't know. Something about social media just gets people to the point where they just, I don't know. They just say things that are like, why would you even say that to someone? Why? Because you don't like his opinion? You got to be kidding me.
For wanting me, Dory, and Michael Medved all to pass away.
For that reason, I hope you all live very long and
happy
lives.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. I was digging around for a compliment. Finally got one. Now we can check with traffic. Here we go.
I'd be really upset if something happened to you, John.
All three of us?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Tracy. That's very sweet of you. Very sweet of you.
Of course, okay. Yeah. I don't know if I could deal with that. Okay, a couple of things.
Your life would go on. I mean, believe me.
I don't know if I could.
No, you'd be fine. No.
Okay.